First of all, I would like to welcome you all people for here for this session. I am Shakil Ahmed from Bahauddin Zikr University, Multan, Pakistan. And I would also like to acknowledge the work of my co-authors. My title for this session presentation is Modeling Resource Use Efficiency of Transplanted Rice for Irrigated Conditions in a Semi-Arid Environment. As far as we all know, resources are limited. But world population is increasing year by year. It is a dire need to utilize the available resources more efficiently. Nitrogen and water are two important resources of agriculture production systems in the semi-arid regions. As far as cereals are concerned, cereals enjoy the status of staple food one way or the other all over the world. Rice is an important cereal crop having Asian origin. This figure shows the paddy production in the world and Asia, and we can see that the export in the world is mainly dependent upon the production in the Asian region. As far as the situation of rice in Pakistan is concerned, rice is one of the six major crops of Pakistan on the basis of area to be sown and overall production among wheat, maize, sugarcane, cotton, and gram. Rice holds second order staple food in Pakistan after wheat, and it is also a source of foreign exchange earning after cotton, contributing 5.9% in value added agriculture and 1.4% in GDP. This figure shows the rice production and productivity in Pakistan from 1974 up till 2009. And the next slide will show the exact picture of productivity in Pakistan. If we compare the productivity of Pakistan with other countries of the region and the other world regions, productivity in Pakistan is low as compared to other regions like Bangladesh, India, Australia, Egypt, all. But the productivity in Pakistan is very less as compared to other countries of the world. It is around 2.3 tons per hectare. The main causes of low productivity in Pakistan are low plant population due to manual transplanting by highly unskilled labor, leaving gaps. It is also a source of earning for poor families. And low fertility status of soil, mainly for nitrogen fertilizer, less application rates, losses of nitrogen, high cropping intensity, and particularly rice wheat cropping pattern, being the both these crops are exhaustive feeders of nutrients. Keeping in view the importance of rice crop, this study was carried out with the following two objectives: to evaluate the performance of crop simulation model Ceres Rice for simulating growth and development of transplanted rice under irrigated semi-arid environment, and to propose the best management option for the rice producers to increase rice productivity and monetary returns for the growers. The experiment was conducted at the Agronomic Research Area, University of Agriculture, Faisalabad, Punjab, Pakistan, during the years 2000 and 2001. Field experiments were conducted with two factors. One was plant population, one seedling per hill, two seedlings per hill, and three seedlings per hill. And the second factor was five nitrogen levels, 0, 50, 100, 150, and 200 kg nitrogen per hectare. This slide shows the mean monthly weather conditions during the experiment years 2000 and 2001. And it is clear from the figure that there is high average minimum and maximum temperature during the rice growing season in Pakistan. The crop simulation model Ceres Rice was calibrated with the data set from the year 2000 field experiment. The cultivar coefficients were determined sequentially, starting with phenological parameters, followed by the grain filling parameters, and finally grain yield and biomass. These eight cultivar coefficients were used for the Ceres Rice model. These first three cultivar coefficients from P1 to P2 2R. These regulate the vegetative growth of the rice crop, while these other five parameters from coefficients from P5 to G4, these regulate the reproductive growth of the rice crop along with their values in the second column. The crop simulation model Ceres rice was evaluated with the data set from the 2001 field experiment, and data regarding phenology, leaf area index, grain yield and biomass was used for model evaluation. For model application, we 52 treatment combinations were selected, consisting of 4 plant densities, 1, 2, 3 and 4 seedlings per hill, and 13 nitrogen rates starting from 0 to 300 kg nitrogen per hectare. And we used the daily observed data from 1974 up till 2008 regarding minimum, maximum temperature, solar radiation and rainfall for the experimental site at Faisalabad. As far as results are concerned, model calibrated emphasis date and maturity date with the difference of minus one between simulated and observed values, and it is clear that model can simulate the phenology of the rice crop under semi-arid environmental conditions. This slide shows the simulated and observed grain yield during the year 2000 and with the high R squared value of 0.97. It means that there was close agreement between simulated and observed values. This figure shows the observed and simulated leaf area index and biomass for the treatment with plant 2 seedlings per hill and 200 kg nitrogen per hectare, and the continuous and dotted line shows the LAI and biomass, simulated biomass, while the triangular and circular symbols show the observed LAI and biomass for the year 2000. As far as model evaluation is concerned, for the second year field experiment, models simulate the phenology of the rice crop for emphasis date and maturity date with zero difference between simulated and observed values. This figure shows the one-to-one relation between simulated grain yield and observed grain yield for the year 2001 with the high R-squared value of 0.95, and there were 15 treatments for combinations for field experiments. This figure shows the simulated and observed leaf area index and biomass for the treatment 2 seedlings per hill at 0 nitrogen, at 100 nitrogen and at 200 nitrogen. This experiment data for 2001 was used for model evaluation. As far as model application is concerned, we run the model with these similar scenarios, 52 scenarios having 4 plant densities and 13 nitrogen levels, making a combination of 52 scenarios for model application. And this is a simulated rice grain yield for all 52 scenarios. The outliers represent the 5th and 95th percentiles, while the whispers represent the 10th and 90th percentiles, while the box limits represent the 25th and 75th percentiles, while the center lines represent the median of the simulated rice grain yield. This figure shows the rice of price in Pakistan from 1974 up till 2009. From 1974 up till 2000, there is a sequential increase in rice price, but from the year 2000 up till 2009, there is more fluctuations in the rice price depending upon the price of rice in the world market as well. This figure shows the monetary terms per hectare for simulated rice yield and the mean monetary returns per hectare for all these scenarios range from $100 per hectare up till $1,250 per hectare. and these outliers represent the minimum and maximum, while these whispers represent the 10th and 90th percentiles, and box lemurs represent the 25th and 75th percentiles, while the median central line represent the median of the mounted returns per hectare. While the economic analysis proved the dominance of the treatment combination, two seedlings per hill along with 200 kg nitrogen per hectare as the dominant treatment for these simulations. As far as in order to conclude, I would like to say the crop simulation model Ceres Rice performance for simulating growth and yield is fairly good under irrigated semi-arid environment. The results suggested that two seedlings per hill and 200 kg nitrogen per hectare is the best combination of minimum strategy for higher economic return for Pakistani growers. And crop simulation models along with targeted field experiments provide a decision support system for agro-technology transfer. This integrated approach can be applied in other regions of Pakistan having variable weather and soil characteristics. I would like to acknowledge the Higher Education Commission Pakistan for this their contribution, and to Bahauddin Zia University Multan and the University of Georgia Griffin USA. Thank you very much.
Any questions for Shakil?
My name is Finn Plaborek. I'm the next speaker after the break, and I'll probably get in trouble when asking you, because then I will have a counter question. But it's about this modeling and the performance of a model. How do we actually sort of objectively evaluate if we are satisfied with the modeling results? And it struck me a bit that you put this, that there was a fair, good agreement. And I will try to use maybe the same word in my talk. But what does it mean, this fair, good agreement? When you showed us the calibration in 2000.
Yeah.
I wonder why you didn't calibrate a bit harder on your model, because it really underestimated the yield with increasing nitrogen application. More than 10, 15, 20% lower yield you showed on this curve. If you go back on the slides, is this not possible to adjust the nitrogen use efficiency of the model?
This one?
No. It's the I think it's a fairly good comparison at this simulated and observed biomass, because there's a quite big difference in the end, isn't there?
It may be due to the varietal difference, because as far as the basmati varieties are concerned, the major difference between basmati and non-basmati varieties is that basmati varieties first attain their maximum tillering capacity, then they enter into the reproductive growth, while the iri varieties side by side achieving their maximum tillering capacity, they also can start their vegetative reproductive growth, because they complete their life cycle in 60 days, while basmati varieties complete their life cycle up to 110 days or up to 120 days.
But again, I think it should be possible to calibrate that error away. If you have a good model with enough parameters, you should be able to make a better calibration, and then your evaluation and your scenarios would have a better, to me, value.
Okay, I think this is also a philosophical discussion. I know Garrett's going to say something, and I just had a thought on this, that part of the issue is too how much you keep parameterizing your model to fit the data, then really what's the point of having the model is something to throw out there. But I think, having said that, I mean, yeah, how far do we go along to calibrate these models before we're taking kind of away what the model's actually supposed to be doing? But I'm going to let Garrett respond, because I think he's going to have some things to say about that too.
I'm a co-author on this paper, and I need to defend him here. I do agree that you can parameterize this model to get a perfect fit. But when he meant calibration in this case, the only option he had
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really good point. Good
comment. Yeah. Thank you.
Just one point to add to the model, because I'm the one who originally wrote the CERA price model. So I know what the limitations are, and one of the major limitations is the quality of input data that we have and the varieties that have been evaluated. As our speaker rightfully said, there is a large difference in terms of not just the variety, but even within the physiology, how a basmati rice behaves versus your typical yeast types. And most of our studies and data, as you would expect, came from the yeast varieties, because there'd be much more research done on them than with the basmati varieties. But this is something that we would like to improve on as we accumulate more and more data. And one of the things that's happening in the industry is that it's not the quantity of rice anymore, the quality aspect is coming in too. So basmati rice is getting much more popularity now than back in the 70s and 80s.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, I want to thank you.
What percentage of time you rice was under paddy conditions? Basically, in Pakistan, let's say.
Yeah.
I think you simulated paddy situation, right?
Yeah.
And what percentage of the time? When did it stop the flooding of the rice?
In case of Pakistan... Yeah.
It's 100%.
But in case of Pakistan, most of the up to 100% we grow flooded rice. But in Bangladesh, also people grow flooded rice. But in case of Pakistan, we irrigate the field. But farmers can irrigate the field after 7 days interval, because they use canal irrigation water and their turn came after 7 days. So sometime it may happen that a farmer irrigate the field on Friday and next Friday he has to again irrigate the field. But during this time there may be chances are there water disappear from the field.
No, but before the harvest, yeah.
Just after 10 or 15 days, we skip the last 10 days to skip just to become the soil dry to be ready for harvesting.
10 days is out of irrigation,
yeah.
Out of flooding.
Yeah.
Okay, then we can calculate what percentage of time.
And as a whole, we apply 16 irrigations to the rice as a general recommendation practice in Pakistan.
Thank you. We were up against the break. We're running a little bit late, so I think what we're going to do is get started at five after 10. If anybody has questions for the speakers from this morning, I'd ask the speakers to stay here for a minute, and anybody can talk to us. I also want to thank all the speakers this morning for keeping on time. It was excellent presentations and good job with time management, so thank you. And I'm sure this afternoon we'll have the later this morning will have the same success. So if there's any questions for any of the speakers this morning, I think we're all here, so you guys can fire away. Or not. Finn, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
So you're all set to go for this next.
Yeah, I hope my presentation is there.
Oh, yeah, actually everybody's here. I checked this morning. Everybody's
okay.